rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Now, will our podcast listeners get to enjoy?
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna
really?
We're gonna try.
You know,
big swing,
banger,
good song.
It's a great track.
It's a good song.
Money won't get you too far.
I thought,
it might get you to what is it? The Ontario Junior Hockey League, but I don't know if it'll get you to the NHL.
Only if Daddy buys the team.
Yeah.
So, top three songs about money. You go.
Oh boy, I mean there's a million.
Come on.
The one that jumped into my head was Money by Pink Floyd.
Yeah, fair. That's a good one. That's a good one.
ABBA,
Money, Money, Money.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Gold Digger, Kanye West.
Ooh, that's a very good one.
Give me money.
Yeah.
Gotta be up there. Mo Money, Mo Problems.
Yeah.
Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah. I mean, you almost have to do like a separate, like you almost have to
per
separate
genre?
Like, rap. And non-rap, because there are like so many classic. Juicy is inherently about money.
Can't Buy Me Love doesn't include the word money, but it's about an exchange or an inability to exchange money for the satisfaction of love.
I'm not buying it. That's going to be a no for me.
Okay.
What's your favorite? Do you got one, or you just
I liked your answers. I think Money by Pink Floyd has to be up there. I'd go Mo Money, Mo Problems, and I'd go Gold Digger. I think Rich Girl's a phenomenal inclusion, though.
Great
honorable
track.
Mention.
Great track.
Love Hall & Oates.
I sound like Rick Dolly while talking about a golf course. Great track.
Who sang the Apprentice theme before it was the Apprentice theme?
I truly have no idea.
I don't even know what the Apprentice theme is.
For the love of the
is.
Money, the OJs.
Thank you.
Let's
all right.
go. Thank you, Elon. Top rope.
Big Apprentice fan.
All right.
That makes sense. No, I'm just kidding.
Elon was Johnny on the spot with that one right there.
All right.
Okay, let's get into it. We did it. We delay it on Wednesdays because we do the crossover. Shook. Let's do the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, March 27th. We'll start with the headlines, and fresh off the presses, we've got an update, or maybe a non-update from Rick Tocchet on Elias Lindholm. I haven't heard this yet. Just came out after practice today at UBC. So here is Rick Tocchet on Elias Lindholm.
I'm not really concerned. I think it's just, it's something a little nagging that's getting better every day. That's the way you got to look at it.
Something else discovered and it's suddenly really long term?
No, I mean, not from the best of my knowledge, I would say no, but yeah, no.
So that's, as I said, a bit of a non-update.
That's
although
good.
I think the notable thing is lack of concern.
Yeah.
Right? And also towards the end there saying it doesn't, at least in Rick Tocchet's, from Rick Tocchet's information, doesn't sound like something that could end up being a long-term thing, which is, of course, key. Now, it's interesting because would you say that a lack of concern and no risk of this being a long-term thing. Like, that's great. Does it necessarily match the fact pattern that we've seen of usage and information or lack of information on Elias Lindholm? That's the question. I'm not here to say it doesn't necessarily, but we can all imagine, you know, a day-to-day injury that gets handled in a much more straightforward way than this Elias Lindholm injury has been handled and talked about. And so I think there's a bit of a gap between that lack. No, we're not concerned. No, we don't think it's going to be a long-term thing that keeps him out. There's a gap between that and the lack of information on the other side is where I'm at right now.
Yeah, it's just odd that we're getting like sort of micro updates about appointments with specialists.
But also it's not serious.
Yeah, and also, like, it's an odd one, but you know what? At this time of year, injury stories get harder and harder to track. Mm. Information, it becomes far less widely shared, held far closer to the vest. And also, sometimes, the stakes change in terms of, you know, the pain management side versus the treatment side versus, playing, what you can play through, what you can manage, how you evaluate the risks of playing. Like, it all gets very, very tricky once you get to this point in the year. So I think that's probably part of what's clouding this as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And then how much of it is just trying to get a better version of Elias Lindholm in the lineup than what they've had, right? Like, is it as simple as that? That this guy needs just to rest a little bit because of whatever's happening. And then you hope that he's going to be better and in a position to help you come the playoff run. That's still certainly where I would lean. Like, I would be still surprised at this point if Elias Lindholm isn't able to go for the playoffs. And I mean, that's really what this comes down to, because as much as the Canucks do have things to play for, and you know, they have to win some more games here to close out the division against Edmonton, they need to do some other things, or maybe they want to do some other things in the Western Conference, what matters is the playoffs. We're fully in that zone now, where the only thing that really matters is what Elias Lindholm was able to do for the playoffs. And man, it is high stakes for the Canucks as a team, for Elias Lindholm, for this management group after taking such a big swing, right? And how it's gone so far. Like, everyone involved should be extremely, extremely motivated for Elias Lindholm to be in the best position to succeed going into the playoffs. And maybe that's part of this. Doesn't mean it is, but you hope that is, because again, there's like the stakes for everyone involved here are really, really significant, not least of which Elias Lindholm, who is a pending unrestricted free agent. So that's the big headline for today. Again, they practiced at UBC. We'll talk about the lineup notes in a second here. And of course, the team plays the Dallas Stars, as you said, Drance, the first and second team by points percentage in the Western Conference, going at it at Rogers Arena tomorrow night. We'll have more on that one tomorrow on the show. But going to the lineup notes, it was a very newsy day from a roster management perspective, and also from what we saw at practice from the Vancouver Canucks. So I'll start with the roster management stuff. Patrick Alvin announced Thatcher Demko placed on LTIR retroactively. Arshdeep Bains recalled from Abbotsford. So that certainly suggests to me that Lindholm not in line to play against the Stars on Thursday. And of course, his absence at practice suggests that as well. Thatcher Demko going on LTIR. We touched on this right off the top of the show, but doesn't say anything about his injury status. It's really just about opening up the cap space to be able to recall Arshdeep Bains at this time of year. It does mean the earliest Demko can return is April 6th against LA, but it would have been very surprising if he returned before that anyway. So
yeah, in line really with the timeline.
It's perfectly in line with the timeline. That would still give him, I think, six games at the end of the season that he could potentially be eligible for. So it doesn't really change anything.
Pure bookkeeping
there. But again, more interesting about what it might say about Elias Lindholm's status. And Arshdeep Bains gets a chance to come back up, practice with the big team. We saw a three-game stretch for Arshdeep Bains in the NHL earlier in the year. We'll see. You got to think he's probably 14th on the depth chart of healthy forwards right now behind Phil DiGiuseppe, but you never know if he gets a game in here or not.
I think it's worth noting, too, that Podkolzin's not going anywhere, right? Like, I do think it's worth noting that Vasily Podkolzin, who looked lost at training camp, right, who for much of the season, based on what they both did in the American League, we would have said was in real danger of falling behind Arshdeep Bains on the organizational pecking order, right, who sort of was kept down in Abbotsford as Linus Karlsson, you know, yo-yoed up and down, like, I think six times between training camp and the trade deadline. So, you know, you've got Podkolzin kind of coming up. I think the size has played. The production hasn't necessarily been there. He has 1 point in 10 games. But his, like, just the heft that he's added to the bottom six, I think, is going to keep him in the lineup.
Well,
and I think these practice lines actually speak volumes. Like, Bains isn't coming in and taking Podkolzin's spot, and nor should he. Like, nor should he. Phil DiGiuseppe's dropped out of the lineup. Podkolzin's staying in, as he should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy's now one of this team's 12 best forwards, I think. And that's a credit to him.
And you look at,
even if he's not scoring.
You know, look at the conversation we're having about size up front, right?
Yeah.
Vasily Podkolzin. And not just that he is big, but he's been playing big. He's been using that size effectively since he's come up to the NHL. And, you know, I got to say, as much as I don't think it's a completely unfair talking point that, you know, do the Canucks have enough size up front? But you look at the lines, how they rolled them out today.
Oh, you know that that's a fair talking point, right?
It's 100% yeah, okay, a fair good. Talking point. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Sorry, I misunderstood you. I just want to make sure we were on the same page that that's
you
a fair
look at the
point.
Lines that they rolled out today. And, okay, so it was Dakota Joshua skating with JT Miller and Brock Besser, Hoglander, Patterson, Garland, Mikheyev, Bluger, Lafferty, Podkolzin, Suter, Niels, Amon, and then Phil DiGiuseppe and Arshdeep Bains were the extras there. And, you know, you put Dakota Joshua up on the top line. Like, that's not a small line by any means. Obviously, Hoglander, Patterson, Garland, it is what it is. But if they're working and they're, you know, winning board battles and on the forecheck, Hoglander and Garland, like they typically do, it doesn't concern you that much. Mikheyev and Lafferty and Bluger all have a little bit of size. Well, Mikheyev and Lafferty especially on the third line. And then you have the Podkolzin element on the fourth line. So, look, I'm not saying it's all of a sudden elite size or anything like that. But the emergence of Podkolzin as a viable option in the bottom six, again, it just supplements the physicality up front a little bit. Somebody texted in earlier in the show, actually. It was three-time Soapbox Derby champion Ronnie Beck, who said, I wonder if Podkolzin not looking out of place in the bottom six makes Tockett feel more comfortable moving Joshua and his size up to the top six. And it's just another option. It's another guy who can play that style of hockey that you have and you feel is viable in an NHL game.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not out on the Podkolzin could maybe become a digger type. Mm-hmm. In the top six, I'm not closing that door by any means, given the fact that, what, he's 22. But you know, you don't have to be that guy necessarily to help a team, right? I mean, Yakov Trenin, who just returned a third-round pick at the deadline, his career high is 24 points in the NHL. He's a big part of that Avalanche team now, right? Like, he significantly deepens that group. He's got one goal there in eight games. You know, Podkolzin doesn't necessarily have to, like, hit on his original draft pedigree to still be a viable contributor, even over the medium term for this team. If he can bring the element that he's brought, especially, you know, hounding Arvidsson into that giveaway on the Lafferty goal, that's the sort of stuff that this team needs in their bottom six. So just wanted to note that because I actually think that's one of the lineup decisions up front that speaks – loudest.
Well, and the other thing, not only is Baines not coming in for him, but Phil DiGiuseppe is coming out, right? And we know, as much as the production, like, as much as the production hasn't been there for Phil DiGiuseppe as it was earlier in the year, we still know how highly Rick Tockett thinks of PDG. So again, that Podkolzin is staying in even in a fourth line role. I think that's a good shout by you. It speaks to what Vasily Podkolzin has done in the eyes of the coaching staff since he's been up in the NHL. On the blue line, it was Quinn Hughes back with Filip Hronek on the first pair, Carson Soucy, Tyler Myers, Nikita Zadorov, and Ian Cole, Friedman and Jules in the extra. So we'll see if there's any load management on the blue line. It doesn't really feel like a game necessarily where you go to load management, though, because you're coming off a loss against a really good Western Conference playoff team. You're playing another really good Western Conference playoff team. I feel like this is a situation where you want to put your best foot forward, get your best six defensemen out there. And the notable one there was that Quinn Hughes and Filip Hronek were back skating together. Finally, the update on Joshua. Again, full contact jersey. Was playing with JT Miller and Brock Besser. The word from Rick Tockett was that we will wait 24 hours to make a decision on Joshua tomorrow. So that would be post game day skate tomorrow. It sounds like they'll make a determination on Dakota Joshua, but certainly if he's not back for tomorrow's game against the Dallas Stars, sounds like it should be very shortly after that, probably Sunday against the Ducks to get Joshua back in. And that'll be a welcome sight, I think, for the Vancouver Canucks to get Dakota Joshua back in
the
lineup.
No question.
All right, that's your lineup update. A lot going on today in terms of call-ups, LTIR, new line combinations, all of that. On to the playoff forecast section of the whiteboard here. Oilers win last night against the Winnipeg Jets, so that drops the Canucks down to a 78% chance to win the Pacific Division. Now, it was 88% on Monday at the beginning of the week. Canucks have lost, Oilers have won, so it's fallen by 10%. And that's significant, but there's also only so many opportunities for like a 4-point swing like that to happen in the remainder of the year, right? So I think in some ways, it still kind of speaks to what a strong position the Canucks are in, right? That, yeah, we dropped 2 points. Edmonton picked up 2 points, and we still have a 78% chance to win this thing, as long as there's not too many more nights like that or sequences like that anyways on the schedule here. The Canucks should still be fine atop the Pacific Division.
Yeah, and you just want breathing room heading into game 80, game 81, game 82, right? Because, you know, even if the Oilers have a 25% chance right now is a commanding spot for the Canucks to be in. If it's a 25% chance ahead of game 82 against the Jets, it's going to be dicey, right? Because there's an outcome that can hose you.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we've all watched Canucks hockey for long enough to know that the remote probabilities are the most painful.
Yeah, you want to have it wrapped up.
And they mostly do.
Yeah.
They mostly do, provided that they don't, you know, hit a significant skid here or, like, get sunned by Vegas twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should be fine. They should be fine.
They do still have that one game left against the Oilers in game 80. And they got Vegas twice. They got Dallas. They have LA again. And they have Winnipeg in 82. So they do have some good teams left on the schedule.
Remember LA's goaltending and everyone rolling their eyes when I said that was going to be an annoying opponent? Feels like no one's doing that anymore, Jamie. What do you think?
Well, that's the key thing about
Feels winning. Like the Kings have now become a boogeyman.
That's the key thing about winning the division.
Yeah.
Is you stay away from the Kings in
Duck
round one.
The Kings. Yep.
Yeah. Like, and nobody wants that for a variety of reasons.
Although
nobody wants that.
You did see there was some moralizing starting about their 1-3-1 being like bad for the game.
Yeah, but that's just fandom.
From media members.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I don't know about that.
From our good friend Mark Spector.
Okay.
We'll have him on and discuss it.
Shout out to Spec. You gotta love that.
I disagree with him vehemently. And
why are you trying to start stuff?
Why would I start? Spec and I go way back. He knows the regard I hold him in. But I also think he's wrong about this. Anyway, so it goes.
The Canucks will be fine in the division as long as they don't poop the bed. Comes in.
The poop and pause is a new signature move for me that I'm going to be trialing.
Poop and pause.
The big poop pause.
Classic big Drew pause.
Classic Drance, pooping and pausing.
You should see a doctor about that.
You're the one with kids. You're the one who relies on the poop pause more than anyone, I'm sure.
Wait, what do you mean?
Where are you going to the bathroom with your phone?
Pull out the phone? Yeah. Like, oh, I'll see you guys in 10 minutes.
I'm going to crush 30 minutes of candy here.
TV's on. You guys are fine.
Right?
And by the way, in the rest of the, it was a very eventful night in the rest of the NHL. Nashville all the way up to a 16% chance to finish third. You know, you even have a 3% chance to finish second in the Central. So, I mean, Winnipeg could be on tap here at some point.
Winnipeg might be my pick for the 8th best team in the West.
Woo!
You don't want to hear
Silence.
My pick for the 7th.
Awkward pause.
You don't want to hear my pick for 7th best team in the West.
I think we could all guess, probably.
Anyway, gambling odds?
Yeah, sure.
Canucks, pick 'em against the Dallas Stars at home. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick 'em. My line open, both teams minus 110.
Has the Stankoven and Tanev additions
100%.
Flipped your script on Dallas?
100%.
Because I think they're really, really good.
They are now. Yep. They and I would say this, Stankoven more than Tanev. Like, I think they have enough. I mean, I think Stankoven's like right now a star level performer. And I think Wyatt Johnston is too. You get two star level performers, I think you can start to overcome, you know, the issues that they've had stemming from how inefficient the Sagan and Ben contracts have been for them, right? Those guys are still contributors, don't get me wrong, but, you know, typically if you have 19.8 tied up in a couple guys, you know, providing like middle six value,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of dead in the water. But if you have two guys providing top six, I mean, Wyatt Johnson's going to have 60 points. Stankoven's a monster,
mm-hmm.
like an outright monster. You know what? He's one of those guys who's first to every puck. Like, you can say he's small, but you're not small if you always have the puck because you're first to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he comes like, off the wall with the puck. If the puck's loose in the slot in dirty areas of the ice, he's first to it. Like, I don't know what else to say. This guy's got 11 points in 15 games. He's full value for it.
Where do you guys stand on the Stank nickname, by the way? It's quite controversial.
I mean, what are you going to do? It's like his name is Stankoven. I know it's pronounced Stankoven, but...
You like Stankoven?
Yeah.
All right.
The stank oven.
It's cooking up some stank.
Like, what are you going to do? It's obviously going to be a part of his nickname.
Obviously. Couldn't be anything else.
Yeah.
So there's a few varieties of hockey nickname, right? There's like the European player who has a name like Henrik that becomes anglicized, Hank, right?
Sure, yeah.
You know,
putting a Y at the end of a name.
Putting a Y, but you sometimes.
Or the S-Y.
Yeah, you sometimes put the Y at the end of the name, or you put the S-Y at the end of the name. Or you take like the part at the end of their name. You know what I'm saying? Like you just take the part at the end of the name, or you like shorten the name. Like you could absolutely he could just be Stank.
Mm-hmm.
He could be Stanky.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Stanks.
He could be Stanks.
He could be Stanks.
He could be Stanksy. I think of those options.
That sounded like a Dr. Seuss bar there.
Actually, yeah.
Sorry. The Grinch song. Stink, stank, stunk.
Yeah.
So that's why it probably sounded like that, but of course that's not a Dr. Seuss original. That's
where does Huggy Bear fall in that hierarchy?
Yeah, they got
it's the first part of the name with the Y, so it's not like H U G G Y, which like sounds cute.
Right.
It's just H U G and then the Y, and of course Chris Tanev is one of the great hockey nickname users of all time.
Or Daddy.
What? What are you talking about?
It's like the second time you've dropped your phone this show.
No, it was my AirBuds.
Oh, okay.
AirPods.
AirBuds. AirBoy.
Anyway, Canucks are even with the Dallas Stars.
They're about to get
on
traded
home-wise.
For Air Bud.
The over-under is set at 6. You know I like the round number over-unders, right? Because you have the good chance at the push if you're not directly right. And it's a pick 'em. No steam on the under or the over.
We got the steam report?
There's no steam.
No steam!
No steam.
Oh, wow.
It's a sauna.
A steam outage.
He's pooping on the floor.
What? Are you talking about?
Air
I have
Bud.
Absolutely no idea what's happening here. Anyways, I guess that's the whiteboard. There you go.
An indispensable daily listen.
An absolutely indispensable daily listen on the Vancouver Canucks here. By the way, a lot of people on your best money songs of all time, a lot of people pointed out Money for Nothing by Dire Straits was one.
That's a good one.
That we missed. The one, my favorite suggestion, because this actually is one of my favorite songs, was Cream by the Wu-Tang Clan.
Mm.
I feel bad.
Cash rules everything.
I feel bad not mentioning that. So shout out to the person who texted Cream in.
They played, I was at a restaurant last night, happened to bump into Kevin Woodley, which was odd, and Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits was playing while we were eating dinner, and I was like, oh yeah, this is good stuff.
You big Steely Dan guy?
Oh yeah.
I've been getting into Steely Dan recently. And on that note.
Excellent.
We'll end the show. Well,
I'm away.
That's called a cliffhanger for the next edition.
I want to say I'm away for the rest of the week, everybody. Sorry. We'll be back on Monday as a duo. But
don't
Jamie
apologize.
Will be here tomorrow with Randeep Janda.
Yeah, I'll be doing 1 hour
Janda.
Solo.
Janda.
Randeep. Randeep will be joining me
I
for the other
hour. I got caught
hour.
Between emphasis.
Janda. Swedish.
Randeep Janda, our good pal. So, yeah. See everybody Monday.
All right. We'll wrap it up there. What a show. Bye. Keep it here
I'm
on
always
Sportsnet
available to poop.